There's a passage of Scripture found in the 14th chapter of John, verse 27, in which our Lord said, "Peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Peace I give unto you." My subject today is peace. Where is it found? True, genuine, lasting peace. Peace that passeth understanding. Peace with God, peace within, peace with others. Not many people have peace. Now, I'm not talking about world peace. According to the Word of God, there never will be any peace in this world. Men are just speaking of folly when they speak of world peace. The Bible says there shall be wars and rumors of wars as long as this world shall exist. Because of the depravity of the human heart, there never will be peace between sinful men, sinful nations. So I'm not talking about world peace. And I'm not talking about ecumenical peace. Now, error and truth can never walk together. Don't expect it to be so. Error and truth can never live together in peace. Men who believe in an absolute sovereign God cannot walk in peace or live in peace with men who build idols. Children of the lesser God and children of the greater God cannot walk together in peace. Men who believe the Word of God is verbally inspired, is literally, actually, the Word of God, can never live in peace with men who deny the Word of God. That's an impossibility. They're at opposite ends of the pole. They cannot have common projects and live in peace. Men who believe in salvation by grace alone, by the power of God, for the glory of God, can never live in peace with men who believe in salvation by works and free will and human morality. You sooner expect the Pharisees to live in peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't do it. They nailed him to a cross. Nor could the Lord Jesus Christ live in peace with the Pharisees. He called them a generation of snakes. So I'm not talking about world peace, which is an impossibility, and I'm not talking about ecumenical peace, which is an impossibility if men are true to their convictions. And my message has nothing to do with psychosomatics, mind over matter. One does not find true peace through positive thinking. One does not find true peace through some kind of arrangement of his mental powers. Mind over matter will not bring genuine, lasting peace, only a veneer. Our Lord said they cry, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace, and they know it. They cry peace. They call me Lord with their lips, he said, but their hearts are far from me. They say, but they do not do. So I'm not talking about a psychosomatic peace, positive mental attitude, positive thinking. That's not peace. That's a veneer. That's a phony peace. A man can have calmness on the outside and be raging like a troubled sea on the inside. That's not peace. And he may have peace out in public and war at home. That's not peace. No, sir, we're not talking about world peace or ecumenical peace. We're talking about real peace. My Lord said, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you." Real peace, genuine peace, lasting peace, peace and rest based on a sure foundation, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding. It's certainly not understood by the natural mind, nor accomplished by the natural man. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. This is the peace of God. Would you like to listen to this message? Why don't you pull up a chair and sit down and listen? Where do we find real peace? Peace, rest, the peace of God. Where is it found? Now, this peace and rest is the common need of everybody. Every one of you out there, I've got our number today. This is what we need, peace. And it's threefold. It's threefold. This foundation has to be laid before I can go any further. What is this peace that we need? Number one, we need peace with God. That's our chief need. And that's why we don't have peace in other areas, is because we don't have peace with God. That's the reason parents and children and husbands and wives and boss and laborers and people on the street and neighbors can't get along. They can't get along with God. How do they get along with one another? They have no peace with God. Our sins have separated us from God, and God's angry with the wicked. God's angry with the wicked every day. Every son of Adam has a right to fear God, has a right to fear death, has a right to fear judgment, has a right to fear what is called after that. You know where that's found in the scripture, after that? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. Judgment. And we have a right to be afraid. If you die in your sins, Christ said, you can't come where I am. Our souls are like the troubled sea because of sin. Our souls are like the troubled sea because we have no peace with God. We're troubled people. We have no peace with God. That's our first need, peace with God. Secondly, now watch it. This peace I'm talking about is not only a peace with God, a rest. The warfare is over. The enmity is gone. But I'm talking about a peace within. A peace within, a satisfaction. Now, only a fool is satisfied with himself, because man at his best state is altogether vanity. Listen to Solomon. He said, I've tried everything. I tried wisdom. I tried art. I tried buildings. I tried wine. I tried money. I tried gold and silver. I tried women. I tried everything, everything. I withheld nothing from myself as the world's richest, greatest man. And he said, when it's all over, I find vanity of vanity, all is vanity. There's no peace or rest or joy or satisfaction to be found in anything that man can do, has, or receive. Listen to Paul in Romans 7. The things I would do, I do them not. The things I would not do, I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Listen to David. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy presence? Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to stand there if he could get there? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who's never lifted up his soul to vanity and never sworn deceitfully, and that's nobody I'm talking to. Our thoughts are carnal, our minds are worldly, covetous, our dreams are confusing, our words are careless, our consciences depress us and trouble us. We have no reason to be at peace in ourselves or with ourselves or within ourselves. No peace. Thirdly, now listen, we need peace with God. We need peace within. And we need peace with others. Now, no man is an island. And no man or woman lives unto himself. Our lives touch the lives of others, and our lives are interwoven with the lives of others. And much conflict, every day and night is a day and night of conflict. Much conflict is experienced in the home, on the job, at the schools, in the neighborhood, even in the churches. Conflict, trouble, discord, misunderstanding, constantly. We're not at peace. People are not at peace. They have no peace. No peace. Do you have trouble forgiving? Do you have trouble forgetting? Do you have trouble understanding? Do you have trouble with envy, trouble with jealousy? Do you have trouble entertaining the best thoughts of others? Are you always suspicious? You see, this type of relationship, and this is the type of relationship most people have. This is what I run into all over the world, wherever I go. I don't run into peace, rest, joy, blessed quietness. I run into trouble and discord and misunderstanding, an unforgiving spirit, sharp words, discord, all of these things. And this destroys peace. Men by nature have no peace with God. Consequently, they have no peace within. And therefore, they have no peace among themselves. Is that not right? You know it is. Let me say it again. First of all, men by nature have no peace with God. And because they have no peace with God, they have no peace in here. And because they have no peace in here, they have no peace with anybody else. And that's the problem. Now, you want to know where true peace is found? And I tell you, it's not for sale. It's not something you can do. It's not something you can go down to a church and buy or borrow or beg or profess. It's not something another son of Adam can give you. This peace is the gift of God. And it's in Jesus Christ. Now listen to my text again. He said, my peace. He's the Prince of Peace. That's what the Scripture says. He's the Prince of Peace. I am come that you might have life, peace. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace is found in the King of Salem, Christ our peace. I'm not oversimplifying this thing. No, I'm not. You say you're oversimplifying. Not at all. Not at all. Every man who has Christ has peace. Every man who has not Christ has not peace. Let me read you a scripture over here that I found in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Now listen to this. He talked to his disciples. And he said, into whatsoever home you enter, into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, if the Son of Peace be in that house, your peace will rest upon it. And if not, it shall not rest, but it shall return to you. Christ is our peace. John 16:33, he said this, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Where? In me. In Christ. Ephesians 2:14 says, he is our peace. Now, let me explain that in the light of these three things that I've mentioned. I said this, men have no peace with God. We need peace with God. That's where it all starts. And having peace with God, we'll have peace within. And having peace within, now listen to me, we'll have peace with others. And Christ is our peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace has been purchased. That enmity has been put away. He's put away the enmity. Colossians 1:20 says, he made peace through the blood of his cross and reconciled us to God. We were without hope, without help, without God, without Christ in this world. But he, by the blood of his cross, hath made peace. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, "Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us all we need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And having these things, we have peace with God." If you read Hebrews 10 sometime, you'll find peace with God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He is my peace with God. God does not look at me and find any satisfaction. God does not look at my deeds and find any pleasure. I beg your pardon. But God looks at his Son, the person of his Son. He says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And he looks at the work and deeds of his Son and the life and death of his Son, and he finds satisfaction, reconciliation. And if I'm in Christ, I'm at peace with God, because Christ is accepted and I'm accepted in the Beloved. Peace. I have peace with God. The canons of heaven are no longer turned in my direction. The wrath of God is no longer upon us who are in Christ. We have peace with God. And having peace with God, we have peace within. Romans 5:1. Now listen to this. There is therefore now. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Romans 8:1 says, "And therefore there is no condemnation." No condemnation to them who are in Christ. No death to fear. No judgment to dread. No eternity to fear. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Christ died. Who can separate us from the love of God? If the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. Free from what? Free from the curse. Free from the penalty. Free from the power of sin. I shall not look to the law, or to my works, or to my religion, or to my baptism. I look to Christ. He is my peace with God. And being my peace with God, he is my peace within. Now, I'm not going to cease to struggle with the old man, but I reckon the old man to be dead in Christ. I shall not cease to mortify this flesh, but in Christ I'm righteous. I shall not cease to repent and believe, but in Christ I'm accepted. Christ is my righteousness, my advocate, and my high priest. And he's my peace. And I can rest. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his righteousness, through his death, through his substitutionary work, through his intercession, through his advocacy, through his entering into the veil as my forerunner. That's the anchor of my soul. God's not angry anymore. God is reconciled. And being reconciled to God, I can have peace within. I don't have to fear. I don't have to be afraid. He's my Father. He's your Father. Abba, Father. It's a spirit of adoption. We cry, "Abba, Father." He said, "Cast your cares upon him." He cares for you. He said, "If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him?" But there's no father-son relationship except in Christ. Now watch it. Listen. Having peace with God and peace in here, in heart and soul with God, even though we're in the flesh, there's still peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with others. Paul said in Romans 12, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably," peaceably with all men. Work peaceably. Live peaceably. Walk peaceably. How can that be done? Well, it can be done if you realize several things. Number one, of course, this peace with God through Christ and this peace within. You're not on the defensive if you're in Christ. You're the son of a king. You have nothing to prove. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. You have no honor to defend, it's his honor. You have no glory to seek, it's his glory. You have no ambition, you have attained everything you want. You have Christ. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to battle anybody. You don't have to strive for position or ambition or objectives or anything else. You have Christ. If you have Christ, you have all things. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Either way, it doesn't make any difference. Being content with what you have, in whatsoever state you're in, because you have Christ. There's nothing else to want. And then secondly, I recognize God's the first cause of all things in the lives of His people. We need not be angry or upset with men. They're just second causes. God's the first cause. Even the crucifixion of Christ shows that. You say, those old wicked men crucified Christ. They sure did, but if you'd have been there, you'd have done it too. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I'm glad he died. I rejoice that he died. If he hadn't died, I wouldn't have a Savior. I thank God for his mercy in Christ. No use being upset with people, holding grudges against people. They're just doing what people do. They're saying what people say. They're acting like people act. And people have said and done and acted that way ever since people have been on this earth. And you're not going to change them. And no use carrying a grudge or holding ill feelings or fussing and fighting with them. They're all in the good providence of God accomplishing His blessed will. He's the first cause. Secondly, I recognize that men are but men. And like myself, they're prone to sin. So God says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake forgave you. How? As God for Christ's sake forgave you. Oh, God loved me. I must love them. They're no harder to love than I am. God Almighty forgave me. I'll forgive them if I know God. He said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. God knows I'm frail and I'm dust. He said that. He remembereth that we're dust. Well, so are they. They're just people. If you have a knowledge of God and peace with God and peace in here, you'll have peace with others because you recognize like yourself. You see, those who love most are those to whom most is forgiven. And those who are the most sympathetic and kind and gentle are those who know that God's been the most sympathetic, kind, and gentle to them. And then I recognize this. I recognize this old world fades away. Every human relationship is considered in the light of eternity, death and eternity, and it doesn't amount to anything anyway. There's not one relationship that you have on this earth that will not be dissolved except that relationship with Christ Jesus. That's exactly right. There's not a house you built or a building you built or an acre you own or anything else that will be retained beyond the day you breathe your last breath. And then it's just you and God. So I tell you this, we need to look upon these things this way right now. When it all boils down to the fact of the matter, there's nothing but me and God right now. And if I have peace with God and I have peace in my heart, then I can handle whatever this world can throw my way. And you can too, because it doesn't amount to anything. It's not worth a snap of your finger. It's not worth fretting over or quarreling over or fighting over or fussing over or dividing over. There's nothing to it. It's all just material rubbish. Now, peace is found in Christ. It's not found where most people are looking for it. It's not found in going to church. Oh, you'll find some temporary peace there at best. The atmosphere of religion will only last as long as you're there, though. And then when you got to leave, you got to leave sometime. Got to go out the door. And you lose your peace. Making a profession of religion is not going to bring you peace. Putting on the robe of religion will not give you a new heart. You can cover this old flesh with the robes of religion and have a wicked, evil, black heart underneath. That's not going to help. Getting involved in religious activities is not going to bring you peace. We must have peace alone within, with God, before it'll affect our activities. Group therapy is not going to bring you peace. Telling others about your weakness is not going to change your nature. The only true peace, lasting peace, genuine peace with God, within, and with others is found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Now here's my conclusion. I have just a few moments left, and I'm going to bring you a conclusion. Now listen. True peace with God is our need. Is that not true? It's mine. Secondly, true peace with God is not the product of the natural heart. I can't find it, buy it, or produce it. It's got to be the gift of God. Is that not true? Thirdly, true peace, lasting peace, is not found in religion. It's not found in religion. You find more warfare in religion than anywhere else. Fourthly, where is true peace found? True, lasting, genuine peace. Listen to the Word of God. Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace, my peace, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 16:33, "In me you have peace." Acts 10:36, "And the disciples preached peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Romans 1:7, "Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 2:14, "He is our peace." You see, I haven't oversimplified it at all. I've just defined it. Christ is our peace. He's our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. He is our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is our first love. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Well, also he is our peace. And our Lord said, when you go to a home, say, "Peace be unto you." And if the Son of Peace be there, then peace is there. If you want this message on peace, where is it found? And the one I brought last week, you send $2, we'll mail it to you. The address will be given to you on the screen. May God bless you, everyone.